The Christian Testament reading is from Matthew 11, verses 16 to 19 and 25 to 30. But what shall I compare this generation? But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. At that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, God, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my God, and no one knows the Son except our heavenly parent, and no one knows the God as parent except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal God. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We might more easily love people far away from ourselves than close by. We open our hearts to the hungry in Sudan, the homeless in Syria who need safety, water, and housing. But the closer we get to our country, our state, our homes, our places of work, the harder it is to access our compassion sometimes for those who stimulate irritation, anger, even disgust in us. Many of the people we dislike, in fact, have running water, calories, educations. How is it, with all their basic needs met, that they behave in such unsavory ways? The people who behaved in such unsavory ways in Jesus' day said, John had a demon. Jesus was a glutton and drunkard. Jesus and John are the target of disinformation. Both are judged harshly because they're associating with welcoming tax collectors and sinners, people outside the power structures. If ever a good put them in their places retort from Jesus seems justified, this is it. But Jesus always surprises. Instead of judging them for their lies, he gives thanks to God for this moment, seeing that wisdom can be found in the least expected places, infants, children, outside of the palaces and courts of power. When the people challenged him publicly, and he said, this is a chance to see God at work, a chance to teach, and he let his heart connect with all who were willing to hear. He is saying, pay attention. All we humans perceive and interpret will not be accurate or pure. Only the heavenly parent knows the Son. Now, this section of Matthew is largely the early Christian community writing using some culturally familiar teaching. According to Christian Testament scholars, it is unlikely original Jesus. The children in the marketplace playing the flute and singing dirges was a common story in the culture. Even the reference to the burdens as light and yoke as easy refer to a section of Ecclesiasticus, a book in the wisdom tradition that was composed 100 to 200 years before Matthew. Listen for the similarities of what we read in this book, Ecclesiasticus, similarities to Matthew. Put your neck under the yoke, and let your souls receive instruction. It is to be found close by. See with your eyes that I have labored little and found. But even if the text in Matthew may not be original material, it seems consistent with Jesus because Jesus surprises. Here is the teaching in Matthew. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus takes the wisdom saying and makes it personal. Let's do this together. Come, I will give rest. Learn and you will find rest. It's not commonplace for people to talk about burdens being light and yokes easy. More often we complain about our burdens and yokes, or we wear them as a badge of our hard work, our perseverance, our capability to face challenges. We want people to notice how heavy a yoke we are bearing and how the burdens affect us. But here, Jesus' words suggest something else, counterintuitive to us. He says the burdens are light and yokes easy. We are invited into this mystery. We are invited into this path where we can discover how burdens become light and yokes easy as disciples. Colin Yuckman from Duke Divinity School writes, "The invitation to discipleship is more than cognitive learning or overcoming a gap in knowledge. It is the adoption of a way of life. And this way of life is expressed in terms of doing and being something in relationship to Jesus." Doing and being something in relationship to Jesus. I am guessing all of us have found ourselves in a project that somehow flies by. We finish the project in good spirits and we've lost track of time. So what makes us able to enter a difficult project or challenge and then find some ease? What looms ahead but then is accomplished and we have energy left over? What makes for this easeful and light living, especially with people we find difficult to love? The line from the poem by Raquel Lamb that I'm focusing on today, and her poem in full is the subject of the sermon series over the next 8 weeks. So the line today is, "May you fall madly in love this year, in love with someone who unhinges your tired trajectory, in love with a spouse of several years who might be aching for lightning, in love with demanding children and crazy relatives." Let's take demanding children. How can we fall in love with demanding children? To begin with, let me say, I feel deep sadness when I see adults not taking responsibility for their children, often using patterns of living that don't serve them or the children. Children are vulnerable. I believe it's up to adults to figure out how to meet their own needs and their children's needs. Children, whether hitting, screaming, or having a tantrum, are only saying, "Please, please pay attention to my needs." I read about a mom taking her kids out for dinner, and they were acting up, and she was losing patience. When the server asked what mom would like, meaning food, mom answers, "I need more patience." And that, of course, may mean more space in her life, more peace for herself, which is, of course, very, very difficult for parents to find sometimes. So now we know what mom needs: patience, space, peace, calm. But it's also the job of parents to concern themselves with their kids' needs. It's never the job of kids to figure out what's missing for them. They don't have those critical thinking abilities yet. It is our job as parents to figure it out. Are they needing attention, exercise, the comfort of home, heart-to-heart connection with their parent? Of course, I know nothing about the real circumstances of what I read, the story that I read about mom taking her kids out, but for the sake of learning, let's just assume the kids have been in school or childcare for the last 8 hours. Their needs may well be for the comfort and safety of home or for closeness with mom, which may not be met in this public forum of a restaurant. In this scenario, let's value everyone's needs: mom's need for ease and the kids' need for comfort and closeness. Let's make sure everyone's needs are on the table before coming up with a strategy. So for the sake of discussion, let's assume going to a restaurant was not the best way to meet the kids' needs. What other strategies come to mind? If mom's need is for ease and the kids' need is for connection and closeness, what other strategy might work? So to get to this, let's begin with what a child might say that's demanding. So in worship today, I took 4 or 5, and the one we chose was, "I don't like this food." So there's really 4 ways we can respond to any difficult message. In the world of empowering communication, we call it the 4 ears exercise, because we have 4 ways to respond. The first way is we can judge the person who gave us the difficult message. We can name what's wrong with the kid. They're impatient. They're not grateful for the fact that they have food, even though it's at a restaurant. Anything where we name what they're doing wrong falls under this first way of responding. We can also judge ourselves for our poor handling of the situation. We can say, I'm a bad mom, or other parents would know better what to do. How come I've read 9 books and I can't figure out what to do in this circumstances? But the last two are more life-giving. We can connect to our needs for peace, rest, harmony, our exhaustion. And just holding those feelings and needs is so precious. We can also connect to our kids' needs. What might our kids be needing? And what came from the congregation today was maybe the kids are needing familiarity, something, you know, familiar with food or even their surroundings. Maybe they're needing more choice. Maybe they're also needing rest. It's the last two of these choices that are life-giving. Paying attention to emotions and values, feelings and needs, are in fact the stuff that life is made of. When we focus on them, we become very creative about finding strategies to meet everyone's needs. So, what might have been a more helpful strategy in this situation? And several people in the congregation said, certainly getting takeout or a frozen dinner or something like that might have been a better strategy. One of my children's preschool teachers was fondly known as Miss Beth. Miss Beth occasionally hosted a parent education evening. One time at one of these events, I asked her how, with 12 or 15 preschoolers, she seemed to handle it all with ease. She said, we often make parenting and teaching harder than it needs to be. She had learned ways of de-escalating conflict with preschoolers so that the classroom was, when I was there, humming with content children and a content teacher. And I wasn't there just at drop-off and pick-up. I was there in the middle of the day, too. I believe that she knew how to find out what kids' needs were, to name them, to help them find solutions to conflict. Her yoke was easy and her burden was light. Not all of our challenges are with children. Think of crazy relatives and spouses aching for lightning. How do we find easeful living, let alone love, these folks? We can use the same four ears exercise. We can